This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll get to the Jags in just a second. My wife Amy is getting they're getting their pictures taken at school today, Seth, like their new pictures. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, she is gonna sit to the side with your hands on your knees and turn awkwardly to your left.
Right.
And smile.
Like professional pictures. And, you know, they hand like a, I guess they must hand like some piece of paper to the photographer before beforehand. And the guy says, "Oh, do you know Sean?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like he said, Amy Pendergast on it.
Yeah, I know. That's what's pretty She's impressive. Like, yeah. That's good name recognition right there. Yeah.
Sleep
it's
with
not
him
like Pendergast is a completely uncommon name.
Right,
you know?
Right. He's a big listener, apparently. So shout out to Trey with Higgins Photography. Huge
Who's currently
listener.
Not listening.
Amy
maybe
pointed that
maintain.
Out.
To maintain his sanity.
Amy pointed out. I said, "I'm going to give him a shout out." She said, "He's not listening, dummy. He's working right now." I said, "Odyssey Rewind feature, anybody? Most maybe successful podcast in the cluster, anybody? Huh?"
Maybe Amy doesn't realize that there are a lot of listeners who listen to a lot of teachers who listen to us when they're supposed to be working. I won't name them by name.
No.
But, if they're in a study hall or something like that, they're totally listening to us.
Yeah.
I'm doing this right now, Sean. I'm going to sit in the school portrait
the photog pose. The school portrait pose. Look at you.
How's it look?
It looks good. Yeah, you could. I
perfect
could
posture.
Yeah, dude.
Knees. I've got my knees, legs at a 45-degree angle as I'm facing
yeah,
the camera.
Yeah, no, I could totally see you being a hardcore algebra teacher right now. Yes. Good job.
I got to learn to, you know what, I wish I've learned things since then. Back then we didn't have a camera in our face 23 hours a day from people taking various photos with their phones of us, you know?
Yep.
The only thing phones were good for back in the day, kids, was talking on or hitting an intruder upside the head with, because they weighed about 17 pounds, okay?
With the receiver. It just fits so perfectly, the grip. Like,
well, you know, but if you hit them with the body of the phone, you could do some damage.
Yeah.
You know, if you actually picked up the receiver
good
and
weapon.
The body of the phone and cracked
good
somebody
call,
upside
Seth.
The head.
Yep. Yeah. Good call.
It's a lot of domestic violence in my home growing up.
Bill Belichick is up to second on the, or I'm sorry, Jacksonville is up to second on the "Where is Bill Belichick going to coach next?" odds board.
Ooh.
That's where we are right now with our opponent this weekend. Is they are in the firmly in the Bill Belichick hot tub right now.
I don't think I
Belichick with Jerry Jones, Shad Khan, maybe John Mara. And his 24-year-old girlfriend, the five of them sitting in a hot tub together right now.
He's going to have to sell his 24-year-old girlfriend on the Jacksonville beaches, which are very underrated. They are. Like, it's not, listen, you're not going to get the crystal blue waters of the Caribbean or anything, but they have very nice wide beaches, so that might appeal to her.
Yeah.
It's a lot nicer than Nantucket, I'll tell you that much.
There you go.
So I think that Belichick, two things. I'm going to be surprised if he wants to go back to coaching. I think right now,
too, man.
He's
okay.
Kind of living the life of getting to, it's almost like an intellectual existence where he gets to go on and have these football discussions with people. You know, he loves teaching people about football. So he gets to break these things down almost like he's a professor at a college in some of these formats that he's on online and whatnot. And then I think he gets to talk to a lot of people I think this is what I, you know, you talk, Gruden or any of these other guys that have gone into broadcasting that are the hardcore football junkies, they love being able to talk to all these different coordinators without any fear of, you know, that person's not holding anything back or anything necessarily. I think I bet he loves it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, but there's always going to be that pullback for the actual competition.
The competition.
I don't know.
That's funny you say that, because I thought about that last night. I'm like, does he even want to go back in? Like, if never going back into coaching were an option on the odds board, I would pick that. Because I think, look, he's one, and I know people talk about him, maybe he wants to catch Don Shula. Does anybody think that Bill Belichick is any greater of a head coach if he goes and gets 15 more wins and catches Don Shula? I won six
honestly,
Super Bowls in the era of free agency.
That would go against his whole ethos, I think.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Regular season success here?
Right,
that's
right.
The team that I used to beat up on, the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. They were great at regular season success. It's
right.
About how do you do. That's when the real coaching challenge begins, is in the postseason.
Yep.
So, that's a really good point, Sean. I hadn't thought of it that way. I think people always... People talked about it like he was obsessed with that, but I'd be surprised if he was obsessed with the regular season wins part. And it's not like he has some personal grudge against Shula or anything that we know of,
right,
where he's going to want to try to show that he was greater than Shula. That's a very, very good point.
Okay,
Sean.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
he's got the pelts on the wall in terms of total championships, and I think that's enough.
Yeah, there's nothing he needs to do to affect his legacy. It's just, I think what you said is what would drive him back, the absence of competition.
Yeah.
You know, like what he's doing now. Maybe he himself has turned what he's doing now into something competitive. He wants to be the best at it. He wants to be lauded for what he does. I love the way he set himself up with it, that he's not doing, like, Jason Kelce is like just doing the Monday Night Football studio show booth and then probably some hits on ESPN. Belichick's like all over the place. He's got little things.
Right. And that's the question, is he's lived a life and had an existence where there is an objective measuring stick,
right,
which is wins and losses.
Correct.
You know, all right, you either won the game or you lost the game.
Yep.
And in broadcasting and or being an influencer.
he's on social media influencer. We are moving more short sleeve hoodies than we ever have.
It's not, because even if you start talking about the things that actually matter, like it's total number followers or clicks or anything like that, that's not always the best measuring stick for whether you're having success by what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he might, at a certain point, he might get to the point where he's like, man, I just miss the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I miss actually just being able to say that we were the better team that year.
Let's pretend for a second that the Jags fire Doug Peterson. Not on Tuesday of next week, although that would mean the Texans had a really good Sunday. So if it happens, then whatever. But after the season, and they hire Bill Belichick, how do we feel as a team in the AFC South that Bill Belichick's in the division?
With
Trevor Lawrence, because Lawrence ain't going anywhere.
I'd be really excited about it.
Would you?
The same way when they hired Urban Meyer, is that I thought the Urban Meyer, from the very get-go, I thought it was a great experiment, and that it was either going to be scary as hell or is going to be an absolute debacle.
Yeah.
I thought it could only be one of two things.
You were right.
Yeah, I was right on that. Yes, I was right that it ended in
one of those
a spectacular fashion.
Yes.
Yes. But I'll give Shad Khan a pass on trying it.
For sure. I wanted Urban Meyer for the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, you can say, oh, college coaches can't do this or that, whatever. Like, when it comes to head coaching, like hiring a certain type of head coach, there's every single head coach who's ever been hired, there were huge reasons why you shouldn't have hired him.
Right.
Jimmy Johnson, for every reason they shouldn't have hired Urban Meyer, the Cowboys shouldn't have hired Jimmy Johnson.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's not, I think that Belichick, if maybe it would turn out that he is just old and he'd lost his fastball and so be it, but I think you'd be an idiot to think that it's not a worthwhile experiment,
mm-hmm,
and to take a swing at it, because he might come back a better coach than he was in his last few years.
Yeah.
He might end up, might very well end up being worse, but he also might end up being a better coach, given some perspective, given some time to really look at the league as a whole, maybe think about how times have changed with the players and how you need to address them differently, et cetera, all that. So I'd be really excited about it. I'd love to have to face him twice a year. I think that would be an awesome, I think it'd be an awesome challenge.
Oh, it had so much juice to those two games. You know, those two Jags games, it would be great.
Plus, if he doesn't like Trevor Lawrence, it would be awesome.
It would be really cool. Well, it's funny because I think to myself, someone texts in, I see Belichick going to the Bengals. Okay, Bengals are 0-3. I don't feel like Zach Taylor is necessarily on a major hot seat. Also, the Bengals are not prone to just haphazardly firing coaches because they're very cheap. They don't want to pay. You know, Marvin Lewis was there forever without winning a playoff game, like a decade and a half. But I do wonder, like, especially at his age, you know, Belichick is... He's, you know, 73. He's a younger 73. He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But how important is it to have the quarterback already in place, you know, as opposed to having to develop somebody?
And honestly, if there's anything that might gnaw at him, and I have zero clue whether or not it's that there's a perception that, all right, what he was never a good head coach without Tom Brady.
Yes.
You know, like he's never once proven, other than in that first Mac Jones rookie season, he was like, and people love to point to the quarterback that went off to Kansas City.
Matt Castle.
People love to point to the Matt Castle year. Todd Haley won the same number of games with that quarterback as Belichick did.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't like they were an awesome Patriots team that year.
So
there might be that part of him that's like, okay, I got to prove that I can do it with a different quarterback.
That team still had Randy Moss and Wes Welker on it. They were 16-0 the year before. Like that was an incredibly talented football team. They probably underachieved with Matt Castle as their quarterback.
And they'd be like, well, what about the Matt Castle year?
Yeah.
Like, okay, what about it?
Do you have any, like, if the Jags were to fire Doug Peterson, are there any candidates out there? Like if they don't hire Belichick, if they fire Doug Peterson at some point, is there anybody given the makeup of the Jags and they've got the quarterback there, albeit somebody who's very shaky right now that would scare you? Like maybe a QB guru or something.
You would put a list up there, and the two guys that I would be most concerned about would be Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator for the Saints. Now, the Saints did not look awesome offensively last week, but I think they've, on the season so far, they've very much overperformed above expectations,
no doubt.
I think. So Kubiak doesn't, I don't know if scare is the right word, but I'm intrigued by Ben Johnson more than I am Clint Kubiak, just because Ben Johnson took a quarterback that a lot of people had just kind of dismissed at that point in Jared Goff and turned him back into a guy that could be on a deep playoff run type of team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's the guy I think I'd be most concerned about.
Yeah, anybody that we feel like could fix Trevor Lawrence would be bad. Now we may have been saying the same thing about Doug Peterson after he came in for Urban Meyer. And for a while, he did fix Trevor Lawrence.
My hope would be, this is my hope, is that the Jaguars decide to get super smart the way the Cardinals did when they took Cliff Kingsbury. I hope they hire Lincoln Riley. Yeah, I hope they
Galaxy brain or bring back Urban Meyer. You know what?
Urban's learned
some things these last few years.
He's learned some lessons about you know, riding the team plane home.
Dude, the tweet that my son sent to you and I on the group text the other night that somebody said, was it actually Trevor Lawrence who ruined Urban Meyer's NFL career?
Nobody wants to bring that up. That's the thing nobody wants to talk about. We're not ready to have that conversation. That's what the kids say these days.
I know, it's so
That's not
stupid.
What the kids say. That's what the middle-aged dudes on social media say. We're not ready to have that conversation. Google this topic. Looks like 300 million people are having this conversation. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
These are my two favorite things on social media. People that say, we're not ready for that conversation. And it's like something about like Caitlin Clark or something. You're like, everybody's having this conversation. That
walk outside. Like,
the mainstream media won't tell you about this. And then they link to an article in the mainstream media.
Right. Fox News. Yeah. Oh, my God. And by the way, no, Trevor Lawrence didn't ruin Urban Meyer. We've got a long list of things Urban Meyer did to ruin Urban Meyer.
Sounds like Urban Meyer was ruined in childhood in some regards. Yeah. He's got some deep seat. That dude's got some demons, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude's got some. That Dude, guy's got.
He's kicking players. He's not flying. The not flying home with the team one was the biggest one with Urban
not
Meyer.
Not flying home with the team was the one that had NFL people like, what the hell?
Well, and it's one thing to not...
I've never, ever heard of anything remotely like that out of a head coach.
But it's one thing to not fly...
In the NFL.
Right. You know. It's one thing to not fly home, because they were playing Cincinnati on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And so he flies to Columbus.
Yeah.
And
they had a bye week the next week. That was his excuse.
Yeah. So they were like, and I'm going to go see my grandkids. Was, you know, like, is what he was
right,
saying.
Right,
right. And then he pops up at his steakhouse with some woman who's not Shelly Meyer on his lap.
Yeah. Grinding up against him.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He was not actively pushing her away.
He was
you
not.
You try to paint her out as a villain and all that all you want. He was just sitting there and accepting the lap dance.
And I'll be honest. Yeah. Were I single, I would not be pushing her away either. But I am not single, and neither is Urban Meyer.
Well, the best part about that was that nobody ever bought Urban Meyer's explanations about how he was retiring from this job or that so he could spend more time with his family.
Right.
So that was the perfect emblem of that. It was like, oh, wanted to spend some time with the grandkids.
So good.
All and right. this colleague.
Yeah. All right. I have never bookmarked more tweets on a story about UNLV football than I did this one. Yes. This was the story floating around yesterday. College football is super popular and yet so very broken right now. And we will share with you why coming up next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Good to be with you on a Thursday. This story yesterday about the UNLV quarterback, his name is Matthew Sluka. And it was, boy, it was getting a lot of traction yesterday. For those who aren't aware of the details, and there's a lot of he said going on with this as to what was mm-hmm. promised, what wasn't promised. There's an agent involved. The bottom line is this: 3 games into what has thus far been UNLV's best football season in eons, UNLV's 3-0. One of the wins is over the Cougs right here at TDECU Stadium in the season opener. They're 3-0. They're 23rd in the coaches poll. They've got as good a chance as any non-power four school to get that spot in the postseason. There's a guaranteed spot in the postseason for a non-power four conference champion. UNLV's got a really good shot at that. Their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, decided to bail on them this week. You can play 3 games in a season and still retain a year of eligibility if you shut it down.
Yeah.
So he and another player from UNLV did it the next day, later in the day. One of their running backs did it too. Sluka is the big story, though, because he's their quarterback. They're 3-0. He did it in the middle of the night, like with a post on social media that there were some promises made to me that were unfulfilled, and therefore I'm going to take my red shirt year and I'm going to go play somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
And this is the world that we now live in. Now, according to According to Sluka's side of the story, he was promised $100,000 verbally by an assistant coach at UNLV.
Yeah. Which is not much these days.
For a quarterback of a 3-0 team?
Yeah.
He's probably worth five times that, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
So he but he reportedly he wasn't looking for more money when he went into the coach.
He wanted what was promised to him.
He wanted what was promised to him. Up until that point of them going 3-0, he'd only received $3,000 and it was for an appearance somewhere.
That doesn't prorate out, man.
It does not.
To $100,000, yeah.
There'd been a lot of hemming and hawing reportedly back and forth where the school was saying, well, we're going to pay you in installments. And he and his dad and his agent, Sluka has an agent, were like, okay. Yeah. They eventually got to the point, we're going to give you game checks. Okay. Like, none of these things are coming in.
Yeah.
And then finally, three games in, he's like, I'm not getting any of my money. This is his side of the story.
Yeah,
I'm not getting any of my money. We got to shut it down. And the UNLV side of the story is they have a collective, like a lot of these schools do, that handles a lot of the NIL stuff. And the collective is like, we never promised anything.
You know,
like, it was an assistant coach who promised an uncertified Nevada agent $100,000. His agent.
I don't even want to. What's the certification process?
I don't know, but Sluka's agent, it's come to light, is not even certified in the state of Nevada, the guy he hired.
But certified to do what?
To be an agent. To be a sports agent.
Right, I know, but that's where, again, like the wild west of NIL and everything else when it comes to amateur athletics, there's like different state rules and everything else. this is where it gets so ugly. Like, there's so many things that are just way more professional right now, I guess, in terms of like professional, in terms of the money side of things than even the NFL is. Because in the NFL, you've got a CBA that sets down rules for what you can and can't do, how guys are going to be paid, all what you're allowed to offer, all of that. And this is something that would never and could never happen in the NFL. But it is just the absolute wild west in college football right now. So I find myself, I'm guessing most people feel this way about it. If we're to take Sluka's side of it, if let's say Sluka's side is correct, hypothetically.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, yeah, the guy showed up. He'd been promised a certain pay. And after 3 weeks of pay, not to mention the preseason of training camp and everything, my employer or whoever isn't following through on it, I'd be like, yeah, this is bogus.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take an IOU for what you guys promised me.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'd also feel like, I can't believe this is where we are with college sports. What the hell?
Yeah.
This is, I mean, the team's 3-0, and the quarterback's just up in RUNNOFT. What the hell?
Sluka's agent, Marcus Cromartie, told ESPN that UNLV didn't come through on their verbal offer of $100,000 from an assistant coach. Sluka's father told ESPN that UNLV head coach Barry Odom later said in a phone conversation the offer wasn't valid because it didn't come from him, but rather from their offensive coordinator. The school said this. Here's the school side of the story, okay? They said Wednesday in a statement that Sluka's representative made financial demands upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing. UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay-for-play rules as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity.
But
okay, let me pause right there. Jerry Tarkanian was your head basketball coach for years and years and years. And I know that was a long time ago, but settle down, UNLV. Whatever. UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. So here's the thing. We don't know. The school's saying one thing. Sluka's agent might be a mess. Sluka's family is saying another thing. Sluka's dad also said that they're paying out of pocket right now for his living expenses. So they're paying.
He's not
for,
even getting like normal scholarship type of benefits.
Right, they're paying for an apartment in Vegas for the kid. Right.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like it's one of a few things. It's what Sluka is saying. It is they made a commitment and they're not living up to it. It's the school saying, hey man, this assistant coach did it. He's not authorized. Or it could be Sluka coming in and saying like, hey, we're 3-0. I deserve more than $100,000 for being 3-0, don't you think? It could be any of those things. To me, the takeaway from this story is college football is built on quicksand right now.
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, and then you got Tennessee that's charging a 10% surcharge to help pay for players.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite, because half the crowd is probably like, well, you know what, for years has been like, well, we should be paying players. Oh, listen, Jim Bob, you're going to get to pay the players, all right. Yeah. We ain't pay. School's like, we ain't paying them. How bad do you want to go to these games?
I'm intrigued by, so Brennan Marion is the offensive coordinator, who's kind of a rising star. And I don't know, apparently, allegedly at least, according to Sluka, this guy, well, and the head coach, Brennan Marion's going to do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Yeah.
Including maybe making promises that he's not actually authorized to make. I mean, he should get fired for that if that's what happened. And yet at the same time, I think he is a really good young offensive coordinator. Yeah. So I don't. He might end up being the head coach next year.
It's so wild, man. It's so wild. And yet I feel like this is a great example of the difference between like the SEC and whatever conference UNLV is in the Mountain West, probably, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like in the SEC, first of all, in the SEC, this could be he'd be making way more than $100,000. And I feel like most SEC schools would be like, oh, yeah, this guy said 100. Yeah, here's 100 grand.
Yes, sir. They pick out, they turn around and open a file cabinet drawer and like throw them a stack.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's what they do. Here
Stop
you go.
Wasting our time.
Yeah. Didn't realize it was no big deal.
Right.
Change here.
So now we've got like another, because I saw. We've got another point on the calendar now we got to keep an eye on in college sports, or in college football, I should say, because there was a USC kid that did the exact same thing yesterday, like 3 weeks into the season, and says, you know, I've decided to leave USC and I'm going to take my redshirt year. So this is another point on the calendar that it's almost like the trade deadline in the NFL. We got to keep an eye on, like, okay, these coaches are all like, we just got to take a look after 4 weeks and see who's still here.
See who's still here, who's been injured, and who's just left.
Yeah.
Who's just gone in the middle of the night. You got to, there's going to be it'll be the wake-up call day, where that'll be a new tradition, is your young assistant coaches have to go around to the dorm rooms of various players and knock on the door and be sure they're still in their cots when they're an hour past the deadline.
There's so many college football fans I see that are like wringing their hands over the ruination of their sport. I love this stuff.
Well, and it is. It's a classic, man. It feels like the ruination of the sport, and yet it's never been more popular.
Never been more popular. TV ratings are through the roof right now.
Well, it's like WWE back in the day when they realized that actually if you embrace the scripted part of it, people love it. They love being in on trying to figure out whether it was scripted or not.
Yeah.
And what's actually, like, they wouldn't have expected that was going to be good. When WWE had to admit in a court of law that pro wrestling was scripted, I think they probably thought at the time, like, oh, that's it for us. And it ended up being the exact opposite. It ended up just fueling like a mainstream success that they'd never had before.
They had a choice as to whether or not they would do it. They did it so they wouldn't have to pay any more taxes and fees like a real sport.
To keep it legal in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, keep it so that the State Athletic Commission wouldn't have to cover over it. They saved
commission,
a bunch of money.
Commission the events and all that.
No, it's staged events. We don't need your, we don't need your commission. You know, we didn't need to be scratching you six-figure checks to the state. This is not it's not an athletic there's athletes, but it's not a sport. Yeah, so and they were nervous about it. You're right, Seth, but it all worked out.
Maybe the NFL one day will admit that it's all scripted and then it'll increase. I get that. Do you still get? It's so annoying. I get like at least one reply and so many tweets from people that are like, why are you guys even talking about this? Arian Foster already admitted that it was scripted.
I like that.
You guys are such sheeple.
I like when sheeple. I like when the league kind of leaned into it for a year with their ads, and they had everybody sitting around a table with their scripts. That was the best. Those were funny commercials. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, so we'll see what happens. I could care less about UNLV football, but the fallout from this story I found to be fascinating.
Who's are people scrambling for Scuba? Sluka? My name is Sluka.
He'll land a good spot next year. His stats weren't great. Like, he wasn't super accurate, but he's a good running quarterback. And he'll make more than 100 grand somewhere next year, I promise you.
I want to hear Brendan Marion's side of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he said, like, there could be 100,000 there for you.
Maybe.
But who knows? If you perform, we'll see.
God, what a mess. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. So the Astros clinched their seventh division title since 2017. Which Astros on this edition, on this team, the 2024 Astros, are we most happy for right now? I've got my list. Got the power rankings of who I'm most happy for after them clinching the division a couple nights ago. And we'll talk about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. So, sheer emotion, man. I was really happy the other night for the Astros. Still got the chills. They played as we were transitioning shows yesterday, and I was leaving the studio, and Reggie and Lopez and Figgy are playing audio from the night before with the Astros. The day after the Astros clinched the division. And you feel like I still get the chills. Even seven division titles later, like they still hits
yeah,
home.
Yeah,
it's fun,
yeah.
Man. It's fun that you don't ever lose that. Or I hope to.
I always like to tell other fan bases that too, in case they worry about whether or not we still enjoy. These
I do too. They
victories.
Love to hear that. I find.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, hey, listen, guys, it's not for nothing. Right. We still do appreciate dominating you. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. It still feels really, really good. I just want you to know we get a lot of satisfaction out of it. I'm also happy for specific people, and as I'm watching the celebration in there, there were some more. I was happy for all of them, so there wasn't anybody I'm like, oh, I got to root for this guy. But there were some I was happier for than others for different reasons. So I've got my short list here, Seth, and if you want to, you know, either chime in or add to it, feel free to add to my Astros I'm happiest for list here. Number one will always be Jose Altuve. There's nothing about watching Jose Altuve run around with the goggles on and a Bud Light or whatever he has in his hand, or a Budweiser, and he's spraying his teammates. Like, watching Jose Altuve be happy will, till my dying day, be one of the things that makes me happy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Jose Altuve, yes.
Well, at this point, it's not... his devotion to the team and his... lack of interest in ever going anywhere else at all, just him being as deeply committed to it. That's something that's hard to come by in professional sports these days.
Yes.
You know, and that part of it is, it's just a different feel with Altuve than basically any other player. There's going to be an emotional connection between Astros fans and Altuve that very few modern fan bases get to enjoy and appreciate. So that part is really cool.
Someday, I'll explain to my grandkids if I were to have grandkids, and I would say, yeah, Altuve was the one that was here before the World Series during the bad times. And they'll be like, oh, you mean like Bregman and Springer and Correa? Like, no. They got here in 2014 and 2015 and 2016. Yeah. No, I'm talking about a guy who was here in 2011, in 2013 when they won 51 games. Like, no, Altuve was here. He came into the organization in 2007 as the thing began to slide into the cliff. No. He was here during the capital T, bad capital B times.
I like that Altuve's the guy that could actually answer a lot of the little trivia questions they ask on the broadcast during the game.
Yes.
About various nondescript players from 2009.
Dude,
or something. Altuve would actually be able to answer a lot of those.
I hate that game. Let me just say, I love Space City Home Network, but their Astro of the Game, their clues suck. Their three clues, like, it's impossible to guess. It's impossible. Maybe that's the goal. Is it keeps you
around. Oh, shut up. You just don't know Brad Mills well enough.
Dude. I mean, the clues, I'm like, I have no idea. Oh, of course, it's Matt Dominguez. Oh, I should have known. Like, I hate that game so much. I love everybody that's part of that station and the broadcast. I hate that game so much. All right, next person I'm happy for, Jonathan Singleton. If you had asked Jonathan Singleton back in the day, someone else who was here during the bad times, by the way, Jonathan Singleton, just the much more circuitous route to get here during the good times.
Mm-hmm.
If you had said, hey, Jonathan Singleton, how's this champagne bath feel? He was part of it last year, too, obviously, so these are two in a row for him. But how's it? You know, if you'd asked him in 2013,
in those early days about how the champagne bath would feel, he'd be like, "I'm not drinking any champagne."
Right, right.
That violates the rules of my yes.
How soon do you think it'll be? And he'd be like, "I don't know, maybe 3-4 years." Yeah, for some, But for you, it's going to be a full decade. And you're going to spend time in the Mexican League. And, you know, like.
I mean, Singleton, man. I mean, you go back to the Singleton signing the deal that he got, which ended up being smart but not so smart. Remember, it was a little bit controversial that he had signed his deal because he took a lot of money up front, but way less than he could have as a free agent, but he would never get to free agency.
Right.
Yeah, he's still working on his service years on that that regard. But he had a lot of issues that he had to work his way through.
I was really happy for him, man. He seems like a great dude. I'm happy for Josh Hader. Similar to Singleton, he was in the Astros farm system back in the day. And he got sent out in 2015 for Carlos Gogo Gomez. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get his first champagne bath with the Astros for another decade after that. So, he was not as prominent a prospect as Singleton was at the time. But, you know, people, it gets lost in the, you know, in the shuffle here. Like the Josh Hader was maybe a year or two away from getting to be part of that 2017 gig, right?
It's hard for me to have as much. I don't get as happy about the guys that get big free agency contracts to come here. I'm like, okay, well, all right, I know it's not about the money, et cetera, but okay, you got paid to come here, and somebody else could have had you too if they spent more.
They could have. So. It's the full circle thing for me.
That's
the part of it.
Yeah.
I'm super happy for Hunter Brown. Who looked like he looked like his major league career was teetering on the brink, and now he's on the verge of being one of the Hunter Brown and Framber, but Hunter Brown is probably one of the 15 to 20 most important players in the AL postseason when the season like he and Framber collectively are the most important thing for the Astros, especially if Yordan Alvarez doesn't come back from his injury. So I'm happy for Hunter Brown. And I'm happy for Spencer Arrighetti, who was probably at the damn parade as a high school kid in 2017 when he was at Cinco Ranch, you know?
The hometown
spraying
aspect.
Champagne on all these guys.
Yeah, the hometown aspect of that for Arrighetti is really, really cool. And then also because it was just, I'm guessing he probably had zero expectation of being called up. Well, maybe he could have thought he could have been called up as like a September call-up or something this year, but not as a guy that was going to be a potential starter or a piggyback guy in the playoffs. And, you know, that's really, really cool. I feel like it was a really bad list because you left off Blanco.
my whole list?
Yeah, your list. Because if you're talking about sentimental favorites or guys that you should be happy about, here's a guy that wasn't even considered a starting pitcher. Yeah. He's old by pitching prospect standards, and yet here he is, basically middle-aged player by baseball standards, being an integral cog in this team.
He had a good year. I should have had him on there, probably.
Mauricio Dubon, who you should walk around happy for 24/7, just because he seems to enjoy life more than anybody I've ever
seen.
He's
like Altuve light, you know what I mean? Like, he's... Like, just in terms of just be happy for him all the time.
Be happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would say even if Mauricio Dubon worked in the mailroom or something, I'd be happy for him. Because I feel like that guy knows how to enjoy life. Just look at him.
Yeah.
He's always got that little mischievous smile on his face.
He's awesome.
Not mischievous in a way of like that he just pulled a prank on the teacher or something, but almost just like he's just mischievous in that he's like he's happy for no reason whatsoever. He's just happy to be out there and playing baseball.
That's a good one. Mauricio Dubon probably should be on the list also.
And then I won't it's cool that you didn't mention these guys, but Jason Hayward and Victor Caratini.
I like them both. Also, I like them both.
I'm not saying you disliked these guys or anything, but I always like the veteran players that weren't marquee signings or were picked up off the scrap heap and then get to come and enjoy this environment and be a part of this experience.
I think it's cool that Hayward has been such a significant part of this for the Astros.
Yeah.
He got waived. He got DFA'd by the Dodgers. You know, like he was,
the Dodgers have helped us a lot through the years. First they gave us that World Series victory, which is awesome.
It was really nice.
They gave us Yordan for pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
They just said, here you go. No big deal.
Yep.
Take this guy. We don't know what to do with him. Got a DH in this league, you see. No DH in this league, you see. Yeah. That's right.
And that'll never change. Yeah.
Yordan was no good to the Dodgers because they had no DH.
People weighing in on this, somebody says, I'm happy for Kikuchi. I am too. that, you know, given how that trade was viewed by a lot of the fan base. I'm happy for Dana Brown. We're doing just players here. But I said yesterday, super happy for Dana Brown, super happy for Joe Espada. But yeah, Kikuchi for sure.
Kikuchi's a guy. Let me ask you this about Kikuchi.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kikuchi gets his famous 14 hours of sleep the night before he starts.
Respect. Yeah.
I like to look at successful people and sometimes think, okay, what's something that they do differently that, for whatever reason, people don't adopt and do?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times with really successful people, they have little idiosyncrasies or stuff, and they want, and people are very quick to try to copy successful people. It's mm-hmm. a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And yet, some things go a little too far. The 14 hours of sleep seems to be, it seems to be something that a lot of great athletes really will, they'll come right out and say, hey, this will blow you away with what it will do for you. Trust me on this. And people are like, it's the one area where people are like, nah.
Here's,
might work for you, but not for me.
No. I'll tell you what it is. This is just for me, at least, is yeah. that it is 14 hours is a massive chunk of the day. It eats into your time to get stuff done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you are now left with 10 hours to get yeah. like to get stuff done. And I know people are going to say, Sean, you have 10 hours. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I have a job. And I spend a lot more time than just these 4 hours working on yeah. this job. Like, 10 hours, especially Kikuchi has a job where he's really only doing his hardcore work. Like, the start, once every 5 days. I know there's other work during the rest of the week. Here's the big thing. Kikuchi, others in sports that get 14 hours of sleep, they've got the resources to hire people to go do the menial stuff during the day yeah. that the rest of us need to go do, like go to the store.
But if it's that, go if to it's the post that office. Vital, all right, for somebody that would have the means to do that, say, like yeah. somebody just that's an executive at a company
yeah.
or what have you,
yeah.
what's preventing them from doing that? And what's preventing them, oh, I didn't realize you had to binge watch Game of Thrones that evening. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Don't watch your hour. Don't, like, that's a, do you agree that people wholesale ignore the advice to get a huge amount of sleep?
Or at least
just to get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah, no. Yeah, 14 is off the grid. Like, yeah, like to get 8 hours of sleep. Yes, they do. Now, I would say this about the 14 hours. You're going to be an incredibly uninteresting person if you're getting 14 hours of sleep. And unless you're telling everybody about what you're dreaming about at night. You know?
Yeah, I don't think he gets 14 hours a night. Yeah. I think it's 14 hours a night before starts.
The night before starts?
Yeah, okay. I would imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine he's getting 14 every day.
Yeah,
I was looking at it as like 14 hours once a week or whatever before a big thing.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I feel like I'm missing out on too much stuff.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. People aren't willing to make that sacrifice.
Yes. Yep.
It's a sacrifice because it sounds like no big deal. Like, oh, just have 14 hours of sleep. Just do it. Why aren't you doing it? The answer is usually, I don't want to make that sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Okay. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, J.J. Watt was on Pat McAfee yesterday. Confirms something the Texans did this past weekend that Seth and I, we hypothesized. J.J. Watt confirms it. We'll get to that coming up next.